Today, we're talking about the best episode of Dragon Ball Z potentially ever right here.
You know, Nano, I wish I could argue with you, but it kind of sucks because I literally just said...
Your tower of G Fuel is getting a little unsturdy over there.
Yeah, the base is kind of messing up. You know, they're not paying me for this.
They're
technically not paying it. We just did this because I needed a drink.
Yeah. You just wanted to try it. You're here.
I'm here. I gotta live the G Fuel life.
I am a sponsored creator from G Fuel, and I just have a lot of G Fuel.
Luxurious life.
He wanted to try it, so we.
I was saying, it sucks. I literally said this was the best episode of Dragon Ball Z so far. I think 2 episodes ago.
Yeah. Well,
this shit blew that out of the water. Not even close. Really not even close.
Yeah. I am looking forward to see what we're rating this one.
Yeah. Wow. That's going to be a real shocker. But Krillin's offensive. You were just saying they gave it to Krillin.
This was right before we technically started recording. They literally let Krillin have the best episode of Dragon Ball Z.
It was worth it, man. He did the most.
I do wonder, as we go through this rewatch, will there be another episode that pound for pound is as good as this one? Pound for pound.
I don't know. And I'm a little worried about that. Hopefully the Namek saga. If not, maybe Cell.
I'm not saying there's not better moments. Actually, maybe I am saying that. But it's just like, damn, this episode was good.
I'm hoping, if not Namek, if not Frieza, then Cell.
That my brain is going to, you know, maybe some Super Saiyan stuff, but I'm just saying, like, pound, like, it's, this episode had so much.
This one
much.
Had a lot. It was so good, I forgot that How we've already seen Dragon Ball already. Like, this is a rewatch. I've already seen this.
I forgot most of this.
Imagine watching this, like, weekly.
That might
and not
as well,
knowing the story.
Might as well been my first reactions episode, and I gotta say, if you guys aren't new to this, go check out our reactions. Unfortunately, I am saying also to go sub up and become a key member. But I think if there was ever a reaction, Dotto, for them to do it.
Yeah, why is that unfortunate? I think that's very fortunate. You know, this is...
It's this one.
This is the big time. This was the big time.
Listen, we haven't really talked about it much, but like in this set. We did that reaction in this set.
That one wouldn't have hit as much. I mean, it would have still.
It would have hit, but like you're getting this production value with our reaction to that, like... Just go. And if they want to know, what do they got to do?
What? They got to check out the description, go over, become a key member, what do you mean? Or just become a YouTube member.
Or you can click join here on YouTube and watch it there.
I was going to say, this reaction is as close as we got to, as we've ever gotten to just being like an anime reaction on YouTube, you know, like,
yes,
nothing against them where it's just like, you're watching, like,
I was screaming,
you're watching JJK reactions
faces.
For like,
I had a tear coming down my face at one point.
This was the Maharaga of Dragon Ball
this,
Z.
This shit was, you guys listen. And on top of that, of course, there's more than just watching reactions. There's bonus podcasts over there that have never made the light of day to everyone else. There's
just not good enough.
I still love referencing this one. There's you surfing the web. That is such a good bonus episode.
Yeah, I was going to say that was just me.
There's we've talked about so much stuff. There's so much waiting for you. If you've never been a key member or you were a long time ago and you come back, all our reactions to this episode 34, so 34 episode reactions to Dragon Ball Z. Oh, we've been at this, Dotto.
Not all of them are one episode of podcast either, man.
They are.
Speaking
not.
Of that, though, when you brought up the surfing the web one, I think of that as literally 6 years ago.
Do you think that was that long ago?
It feels so long ago. Man. Which
maybe we haven't been doing this, but 6 months, Dotto.
I know, but we were talking about time. We got into a little disagreement here. I think trying new things out, new excursions, basically, like, I've been thinking about making some big life moves that I can't exactly say yet. But for the purpose of it, I was like, you know, one of the big reasons I'm doing it is I think it'll just slow time down for a little while. You think it's going to do the opposite?
I think it's going to do the opposite. Because
I think it's going to just speed up, like every day's a blur.
So the way I'm comparing, and we can't talk on what you're doing, but my comparison, man, look at you. We didn't even need the notes.
No, we didn't need the notes.
We didn't even need, I brought my notes exactly. out and I wrote down notes so I could bring this up on the actual pod.
But I struggle with remembering episode numbers. That's where, numbers is where I get really off track.
And so I was comparing this to, for me, big life events doesn't get too much bigger than having a literal child.
No, like, I'd say that's pretty big. Yeah,
it's pretty impactful. It just sped up life. And then I had a second one, and it sped it up even more. And people will tell you this bullshit about, like, once you,
oh, good. No, go ahead. I mean, you're dropping the parental facts. Go ahead.
When you have one and then you adjust to more than one, it's not as, like, impactful as that when you had that first one. And I think that that is just a load, bro, of crap, bro. It's not true. It's 2x everything.
You don't believe that after the first one, it's not as worse.
A lot of people, I think one of my buddies, the way he compared it is like when you have your first child, like that is just such a massive, you know, new undertaking and responsibility. Yeah. When you have your second one, it's not like doubling it. It's more like 1.5xing it.
Okay.
I don't agree with that at all. I don't agree with that at all.
But I think when most people say that, are they not talking about just like the fear factor? Were you more afraid first kid or second kid?
Definitely first kid, but I was never really afraid. I guess not afraid, it's just like
I would be like, what are the, like, would this kid like break if I like leave him for 3 seconds?
No.
You didn't feel that at all? You're no. Just like, oh, he got it.
I think like once you, I was fearful. I don't want to act all like macho, whatever, but like I was fearful when we were having him. Okay. And like going to the hospital with my wife and like she was in labor for like a super long time. Like that was nervous. I say that. I guess I wasn't that, once we were there, I wasn't that nervous because I tell a story and apparently, women aren't the biggest fan of this story, but I ate Jimmy John's in the room with her while she was going through labor. She was in labor for 12 hours. I didn't want to leave her side. And so I had someone bring me Jimmy John's.
I don't know what the proper etiquette was.
What's not proper etiquette
about enjoying a footlong?
So she can't eat.
Okay.
When they're like in labor or something like that, like they're not supposed to eat.
All right.
But
am I supposed to suffer? And am I supposed to starve?
I didn't think it was that big of a deal. but we were talking to someone and one of them brought it up because obviously like all my family was there, all her family was there. But only so many people can be in the room at one time, right? Until we actually have the baby. Like when she's actually in labor, it's very limited to who all can come in and go.
Yeah.
Plus, obviously, she doesn't just want anyone going in there. But
yeah, I don't think I would want anybody in there.
They had to bring me the Jimmy John's, so they knew that I had the sandwich, and that story has been told. And I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but apparently it was a huge deal that I brought Jimmy John's in. But I will say the one thing, Brianna's senses were real heightened at that time, and she said that she could not stand the smell of that sandwich.
I do think it was a little weird of you to, because you've told me this, I do think it was weird for you to get the Chipotle extra mayo sauce, because that really reeks, man. With the banana olives, too.
I got the most basic bitch sandwich ever, by the way.
Do you even like Jimmy John's? Like, out of 10, what are you giving it?
The bread carries.
Okay.
The bread carries hard. It's like a 7.
7.
So it's like above it. I'm going to tell you
right now, you're going to be hearing this story until you die. So a 7 out of 10 is a little light for...
Well, okay, it depends on... The sandwich I got that day is a 7. They have like a Italian nightclub thing that they got. Have you ever had that?
What is the Italian nightclub?
It's just a bunch of like
how many inches is that?
It's like their standard whatever.
Okay.
However big a Jimmy John is normally. Okay. But like it's different cuts of like provolone or not provolone.
Never mind.
Well, it does have provolone.
Oh, okay.
And it's got like one of their like sauces. I don't know. It's just like a damn dude. I can't think of what the word I'm looking for is.
I'm asking because
different cuts of ham,
deli meat,
yeah,
turkey,
no, like pepperoni. Roast beef. Think of pepperoni, okay.
Pepperoni, sausage,
not sausage, but pepperoni. What's the other S word?
Stromboli.
Dude,
come on, bro. S words, come on. S words.
Salami.
There.
Stuff like that. Like okay, think in that realm, and then all it's right. Got like there, like. But anyway, that sandwich is really great. The one I had. Because I wanted to keep it more tame, was just ham and cheese.
Why'd you go more tame? Why not go all out?
I don't know. I did feel bad to eat because she couldn't eat. So I just went streamlined.
I don't think I would feel bad at all.
I did, yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
I'm half
the parent.
Damn, okay, yeah. No, but anyways, let's relate this back to why we started talking about this. I don't want to have a whole parenting discussion here. I am too.
I forgot we were talking about that.
But... It didn't slow down. Matter of fact, when I had my first kid, I just quit my job to be a YouTuber. So like, you want to talk about life changes, bro? Like,
I was gonna say,
I quit my very stable
corporate IT job
to become a YouTuber that I'd been doing for 5 years, using my comp sci degree, like all that. You know,
is it crazy to know that the only thing
and had a child 5 days later?
I was going to say, is it crazy to know that the only thing that separated you from being super dead to bum is your success? Like, you really could have been like, that road is like a 50-50, but you went down the successful, you got a gold plaque.
Yeah.
So you went down the right path here.
Man.
I think about that a lot.
So all I'm saying is time did not slow down, period, during any of that. It has all gotten so much faster.
Yeah, I
think that you're comparing it to something that, I don't know. It'll be interesting if the thing that you can't talk about happens and we can have this conversation and talk
about this. In a timeline where it has happened.
In a future timeline where it's happened, and we can see if you're like, shit, dude, these last 3 months have been like a whirlwind. I'm not talking about the Hearthstone podcast.
I wish I could be a guest on that podcast. We should just do an episode just so I can be a guest. I think what I'm comparing it to, because I think, yes, what you're referring to.
That would be so meta. The buddy that I did Whirlwind with is like 5 minutes down the road.
Yeah, you guys should do another episode and I should just be a guest on it. And then we could just talk about the meta on it. But it has to be real. Like, I want to talk about the actual today meta of Hearthstone. So you guys would probably
have
to do research.
That would be so crazy.
You guys would probably have to do research.
He would probably be so in for that.
You would have to do some research because I don't want it to be like a lazy thing. Like, I want it to. I want Hearthstone players to actually click on the podcast and be like, subscribe. They want to subscribe. And then they're like, what the fuck? This is not
legendary.
Is that your intro?
Wah! Golden legendary.
I have no idea what you're referencing.
You never opened packs on Hearthstone?
Oh, I do remember that.
Bro opened packs, but he was not lucky.
No. My Hearthstone, I was poor, but two, I was just luck poor too.
Hearthstone League. Probably truly popped my
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was gonna say what you thought I was gonna say. League probably really popped my cherry for stuff like that, and I think Hearthstone just completely ripped it apart.
it apart is a crazy phrase to fall and pop my cherry.
I was so ready for Dokkan to go in.
Yeah, you were loose, man. Your pockets were loose
to fit itself in a nice like place in my life because I was just so ready from League calling me into buying skins.
Why are you going so down this road? You are committed to this analogy. See, the difference is, Nano, with my analogies, I pull out, bro.
And that's the thing. I don't.
I know. All right. And we were just talking about that.
I don't, man. I full send it every time. So
anyway.
But I'll be so interested to have this conversation if everything works out or if you want it to work. I don't know. But if that timeline happens and seeing if it's like, dude, these last 3 months have been the slowest my life has been in forever and I love it. Or if you're like, fuck, dude, it's like.
I'm comparing it to.
2 days.
I expect there would be a period, just with any period of change, I think moves very quick.
Yes.
But then in a period of new experiences, I think, because I'm a big believer that time moved extremely slow as a child because everything you experience is a new experience.
Yeah.
I think new experiences is what slow time.
You're definitely
down.
Right. Yeah, you're right.
And part of that is just as you get older, I think more and more people settle into a routine. And that's why age correlates to not only the fact that you're getting older, you've experienced more, the slice of new just shrinks, and then what people try out also shrinks. So I'm hoping that constant force new experiences.
Yeah, I can definitely say at 33, I don't have that many new experiences.
Yeah, like what do you have left?
Like, I've never been outside the country. So traveling outside the country would be a new experience.
That would be. I hate traveling. God, I hate it.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love. I don't know. It's weird. Do you like traveling alone better or traveling with someone or like a group?
To get with other people is probably more fun.
There's pros and cons, yeah.
I guess I would never travel alone because I just wouldn't. Like, why would I? Unless I had a bit. But the thing is, traveling.
I just got through traveling alone across the entire U.S. pretty much.
But I guess traveling sucks, but working and doing things doesn't suck. You know what I mean? Like, I don't consider this traveling. But that being on the airplane was travel, and that sucked.
That's where my mind is at, is like, if I'm on a plane, it's traveling.
And it's ass.
Maybe it's traveling for work, but like, it's traveling, you know?
I hate traveling so much. I can't. I
like traveling alone. I don't know. Like, you're so much more nimble.
You are like.
You're real nimble. Like, you can just.
I mean, you know, you know, I like to be able to move. I pack one backpack. I don't like luggage. I don't like having to get
I wish I dude this. So, I mean, this is kind of funny. I was just at your house a month ago.
Yeah.
And now you're at my house a month later, month and a half later. When you didn't even see, I did this bit when I was at Dotto's place. I had brought my bag. So I stayed at a hotel just like down the road, and Dotto came to pick me up. Right? You picked me up? Yeah. You picked me up. I was trying to think if I Ubered or not, but no. You picked me up. And when I was going to go to Dotto's place, I was like, obviously I was filming my 1 mil special. So I brought a bunch of like production equipment. And the thing is, because of you and Truth, I felt like I needed to bring a little bit more because you guys don't do face cam. So I didn't know what, especially Truth for sure. I didn't know what the like face cam situation would be or the camera situation would be.
It's probably for the best.
I knew that Diddy and Dino would have me because they both do face cam all the time. But like, I didn't know what your situation was going to be. So I brought like lights. I brought a camera. I brought multiple cameras just in case because I wanted backup because it was an expensive trip to go over the U.S. And so I had a backpack that was probably 30 to 40 pounds.
40 pounds, I would say.
No. I'm not done yet.
Oh.
Then I had a carry-on that I brought with me that was probably 30 to 40 pounds.
40 pounds.
Then I had a checked bag. So when you came to get me, I was like, okay, I don't want to go over to Dotto's house with a carry-on and a backpack. So I loaded up the backpack even more, probably pushing 50 pounds. And I made a joke to Kinsey, and I was like, here, will you carry this? I do this thing where I say shit and people take me seriously.
This, I think, is the most underknown, least known thing about Nanogenics, I believe. But go ahead.
I'm incredibly sarcastic, and like I find certain things funny, and like, okay, a good example is earlier I pretended to rebook Dotto to fly back out here, and I went to the screen that looked like it showed like I had just checked out. It was like the screen above. It was an American flight, and it was the screen above. You start filling in passenger info, and it really did look like the screen where you check out. It looked like the confirmation.
Oh my God.
And my delivery of it is pretty good, right? You pretty damn good.
That's what I'm saying is people don't know, but I think out of any human being I've ever talked to, ever, Nano has the innate ability to, there's just no detection at all. Like when you're serious and when you're not, there is not a single difference at all. It's just you. It's like a Schrodinger's box, Schrodinger's cat, I guess. It's literally like that, bro. It's like it's either true or it's not.
Oh, okay.
The only thing that determines it is what you say afterwards. That's it. Like there's no determining factor at all.
I wish I'd gotten Dotto's reaction. All these cameras and none of them were running.
It really doesn't come across in your videos because you don't really do any. It's sarcasm in your videos.
Yeah, it's more easy and more fun to do not on videos, especially not in a podcast. Like
it bothers me because it's such a huge part. I would say it's the number one joke you make is to just say stuff and not mean it.
And I don't do it in content ever.
And you don't do it on videos ever. Ever.
So I did
like this, on the podcast, we'll do some of it. Like,
yeah. Because this is long form and we're sitting here for so long, and it can happen more often. But I did this to Kinsey. And it was a full-on joke. I mean, I'm not kidding. This backpack, I'm really surprised this backpack didn't rip because it may have been pushing 50 to 55.
It was like 55.
Yeah, it was heavy as hell. And I handed it to Kinsey as a joke. I wasn't going to let go of it. And I think she thought I meant like help. And she's really nice. So she just took it. And like, what are you? And I felt bad. I'm like,
well, because this is the way I first of all, I think you should let go. I think it's funnier if you let go. But, the way you ask, Kenzie, you mind if I take my, like, I can't even act that good because I'm not an actor. Or you're like, Kenzie, you mind if you take my bag? Can you help me out? Like, it was so believable. I would have taken the bag and then I would have felt bad. I would have recognized it was heavy, but I'm not going to not take it. So I would have taken it too.
The thing is, I just wanted her to like, kind of like, I kept my hand there because I just wanted her to see how heavy it was for a second. And she full sins and she's just like, she grabs it to throw it on her back. Like she, and I'm like, no.
It is, the sarcasm is crazy. I'm glad we brought it up because I've been looking for a way to talk about it just because people do not understand that is your whole bit. That's your whole sense of humor is just saying shit and not meaning it.
My best bits are playing like, I think the best bits I can do are when I'm like playing off of someone else's energy. I think that's where like I thrive the best.
I just, I wish this was a guest episode of the podcast, because I would really like if like a Diddy or an Iron King were here to like back up that this is like 100% just,
or guests I didn't even know and I could do it to them.
Yes, or just like anybody. Just this is literally all you do.
But
like,
the thing is you and I have known each other what, 6 years now, and I still got you with the airplane thing
because I'm
30 minutes ago,
and I'm not when it comes to like talking.
Is it annoying though?
No, I think it's funny.
Oh, okay.
I think it's funny, but also it's like, it's more infuriating for me because I swear to God, I think it happens at least once a day every time we talk that I'm like, is that serious or not? It's just, it's impossible. It literally is impossible. Like, I guess I'll bring it up now. When you said, I feel like going for a walk, I thought that was one. I thought that was 100,000% just some shit you would say that just wasn't real. And we went on a walk.
I low-key did say it as a bit at first, and then I was like, actually, shit, that does sound great right now.
Yeah, you were like, I kind of want to go for a walk.
Dude, we'd been sitting in this room with artificial lights, and I was just like, let's get some real light, you know?
And then we went on a walk, and I thought that was 100% a bit.
So I also just got some blood work back that definitely made me want to kick my ass in gear on being a little more healthy. So that's fun.
It was mostly in the green. Well, not, it wasn't really color coded, but
dude,
was it not? You told me it was the one stat.
It wasn't the one stat. It was all of the cholesterol section is all either low when it should be high and high when it should be low.
Oh, I guess that was that was a subcategory.
That's a conversation for another day. I think instead,
yeah, when we start doing prostate exam, podcast, that would be a great one.
That's gonna be so crazy. So, I think I'm going to try to start killing it in the gym and on maybe some cardio, which I'm going to have to find some love in that. Today, Krillin was krilling it in this episode.
Krilling it.
That was maybe my worst. Shout out to D-Free for that one.
Shout out to D-Free.
But that was probably one of my worst segues ever.
Yeah, I can't tell you how good it was when I was first starting uploading that. I was like, oh, there's other YouTubers that like Krillin. Like, this is...
Yeah, D-Free's favorite character is Krillin.
Which is based. I was like, good. You know, there's...
It's fans like you that make me feel like shit. Can I say that?
Why?
I just got to get this on my chest. It's fans like you and him that make me feel like shit. Because you guys over here,
liking actually, an ass character?
You actually... What?
Go ahead.
What'd you say about Vegeta?
No, I was... you actually took it wrong. I was saying liking an ass character Krillin.
No. It's like... It's so much more interesting when you ask someone who's your favorite character and they answer with an actual, I wouldn't say Krillin is a deep cut, but he is a deep cut compared to what most people's Dragon Ball answers are.
Yeah, but I'm not going to lie. It's also really annoying when people, because does it not annoy you when, and everybody, I mean, every single human being is guilty of this.
It depends on what you say.
We all do this, but it's for literally any subject on earth. When there is an obvious answer and people go, well, not counting this or not counting, I just spit everywhere, not counting Goku, I guess I'd say Krillin. Hey, come on, man. It wasn't that much.
I'm not kidding.
I don't know. I just, when people aren't real to themselves because what they think what they like is so basic, that is guaranteed.
Oh, you're saying I love Vegeta, but I don't want to answer
if
Vegeta.
If you love Vegeta and you were like, and somebody asked you what your favorite character was and was like, well, you know, obviously Vegeta is, but everybody says Vegeta. So I'll say Tao Pai Pai. It's like, just shut the fuck up and say Vegeta, bro.
Yeah.
Like,
no, unless you're, I if full you're, own yeah, the Vegeta yeah, 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 thing. Yeah.
If you're about it, then be about it.
But it's just like when guys like you exist and you say things like Krillin, I'm like, fuck, I'm so basic though, you know?
Yeah. I mean,
Vegeta is the second most basic answer for that question on Dragon Ball.
You do have Vegeta, which is the Shadow, the Hedgehog. I do think it's funny that people definitely line in with personality. Like, you're probably more of a Shadow guy.
Yeah. I didn't even realize that, by the way.
But that's why, because
I'm not a big 3D Sonic guy. Yeah.
I mean, that's fine. It's just more the personality. The thing with me is I go through that with literally every fighting game. Because
was Shadow introduced? Is that Sonic Adventure?
I think so, yeah. But anyway, with fighting games, I literally just like the main character. So Ryu, Guilty Gear, Soul
Ryu's
Bad Guy.
Sick, though.
That's what I'm saying.
Evil Ryu?
I'm not really into Evil Ryu. Not much of a DeviantArt guy myself.
Okay, but how about Akuma?
He's cool, but not for me. I like the good guy. Now, if you want to get into like, but then again, I like Alex, but he's kind of like the main character of Third Strike. So does that really count?
I don't even know who that is.
Okay, bit of a deep cut there.
It was in Sonic. Oh, it was in Sonic Adventure 2.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
Sonic Adventure 2 was the introduction of Shadow, which I did not play.
Which is crazy. Because yeah. It's pretty fun.
I've been thinking about doing like a Sonic like retrospective thing, like just to catch myself up.
What is the Nanogenics channel? What is Nanogenics in 2024?
I do want to try some different things.
Go for it, man. You hit 1 million subs. It's time to spread your wings and fly a little bit.
You know, I have some goals and aspirations, and some of those might involve trying some like
going on walks,
different things. Yeah. I put out a solo leveling video that is doing better than most of my Dragon Ball videos.
That's the thing, dude, is just do something different, you know?
So it's like.
Like, what is really stopping you from just going on Steam and buying a game and playing it?
Dude, did you watch Afro's video?
Which one?
The one where he's like, I can't believe I'm playing this or something like
Final
that.
Final Fantasy 16 stuff?
No.
Oh.
It was some Steam game. And he says he wasn't going to play it. And I got distracted and I didn't get to finish it. It was a trailer that was definitely being targeted to a specific audience. And I guess I was maybe semi the audience because I was interested in seeing what the hell they were doing with this game. It's very meta. It was very, like, it looked like it was some e-dating sim. And then they're like, not the typical, I don't know.
I literally know what game it is, but I can't remember what the visuals were.
Yeah. Anyway, I was just
but,
curious.
But yes, Afro was actually who
you,
I thought of.
You saying that spawned that because I'm like, yeah, just go and find a bunch of random.
Literally, Afro uploaded like Final Fantasy 16. Afro's a big, he's part of the circle.
Yeah,
big
if you don't know, Afro sends you.
But when he uploads stuff, he always, for some reason, is the guy that uploads stuff and just makes me click stuff in my brain that I'm like, man, what the fuck? Like, why? What was it? It wasn't, I mean, Mugen, yes, but it wasn't necessarily Mugen. I think it was, he did a Gohan Beast thumbnail for some game that didn't have Gohan Beast in it. And I was like, why didn't I think of that? Like, why? Just because he's not in the game? He's still a Dragon Ball representative. Like, it's totally fine if you're saying new Dragon Ball game. I was like, damn. And the Final Fantasy 16, I was like, this guy can you can really do anything on YouTube. There's no rules.
Yeah, you definitely can.
So realizing that, you're right. You should just do new stuff because the solo leveling thing did pretty good.
Yep. This all spawned because I said that fans like you pissed me off.
I mean, and I get it because I actually understand the same thing.
So like, let me ask you this really, really fast and we can move back to the episode. When I say Nanami is one of my favorite JJK characters, is that pretty basic?
I don't think so. I think JJK is kind of, but the thing with JJK and the reason, I think anybody but Gojo is basic. Gojo is the basic one.
But I do like Gojo though.
I mean, I think everybody does.
I think everyone likes Gojo.
But that's why it's the basic one is because everybody kind of
likes
him.
But I just love Nanami, dude. Nanami was the turning point when I was like, wait.
He's got the working middle class. Like he's like the working man's character.
I will forever remember when he's like, he kept talking about how he couldn't work past 5 and then the clock strikes and he says, I guess it's overtime. I guess I'm getting overtime today or some shit like that. And I was like,
that's the working man's character right there.
I'm tapping in on the show.
Anyway, I was going to say, Jujutsu Kaisen's a little weird because the main character, he's cool. Like Yuji's cool, but he's kind of like, for most of the story, pretty dry. Like he's not really doing much.
Yeah, I'm not really attached to
like if the main
Yuji Itadori.
Like if he didn't exist, would you still watch the show? Probably. Yeah, like yeah. If Sukuna just was a different vessel.
He is the driving factor of the show, but like, or the catalyst that spawns the show.
He is, but I'm saying like, if he was like a plot point, not a character, and he just got thrown away, I think most people would still watch the show.
I'll say this when we get back to Dragon Ball. I really, and maybe you can tell me if there is, you're caught up on the manga, right?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the pre stuff, the hidden inventory where Gojo's younger.
Oh yeah.
And Gato is still Gato and like all of that.
Yeah, it was cool.
I like, similar to how we talk about with Dragon Ball all the time, like how cool it would be to see like Planet Vegeta, the inner workings of Planet Vegeta, and actually like getting an anime that's focused around Planet Vegeta.
Yeah,
similar thing with JJK, like, or like prequel stuff.
Oh yeah, like more just
when the
missions.
Worlds are interesting enough, prequels are fun.
Yeah, I like my favorite stuff is probably the Zero stuff, just because I like Yuta in that show.
I was going to say Zero character. As well, right?
Any character that can copy abilities is instantly pretty cool. My Hero Academia had one of those dudes. I don't really... Actually, I can't even think if they did anything with him, and I read the manga.
What are you talking about?
The guy that touches people and gets their quirk for 5 minutes? Like, that's sick.
Oh!
The fact that he also just... Like, his superhero costume was just a suit.
Right now in the anime, he was just part of the U6, or U6.
U6, wow, big upgrade for the guy. Hold on. I don't know how he's going to do against Goku.
The Class A versus Class B stuff.
Yeah.
He can store 3 powers, I think, is what it was.
His quirk is pretty busted.
It's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And the fact that he just wears a suit is kind of cold.
Am I losing my mind? I feel like it was he can store 3 powers or something like that.
I think it's 3.
I think that's right. Anyway.
I think people were waiting for his quirk to awaken. Anyway, I got to say, we're getting better at this podcasting thing without Dragon Ball. I brought this up last episode. I keep checking the clock because we're at 30 minutes. All we said was this was the best episode ever. And then we brought up the title. And the thing is, we have no idea how people are liking that style. So that's very worrisome. Because what if people fuck this?
It's fine. This is Krillin's Offensive.
Great title.
This is a great title.
Well, give me the Japanese title real quick.
Let's see. Do you want to hear that? Okay. So the Japanese title is Shoot Krillin. It's not Krillin. Can you say Krillin's Japanese name?
Kuririn?
Yeah. The Genki Dama Packed with Hope.
Okay.
This is the 34th episode.
Gonna say that's an English title W, I think.
This is the 34th episode of Dragon Ball Z. They've stopped telling us which episode number it is as a part of the Vegeta saga, which is really interesting.
Maybe because we're getting to maybe it's not a member of that, even though it clearly is. Go ahead.
This was originally aired in Japan on January 31st of 1990, and it aired here in the U.S. on August 10th of 2005.
That is crazy. I know that we hear this date all the time, but I keep thinking, if I was alive in 1990, this would basically be the best thing ever. Like, what else are you doing in 1990? Listening to, like, a Sony Walkman? Like,
God, dude.
Like, I would just live, breathe Dragon Ball.
I will say, we couldn't do what we're doing right now in 1990.
No, yeah, we'd have a job.
Yeah, but a part of me wishes I could have experienced a little more of that era of life. Just a little more.
I mean...
The internet is really awesome, don't get me wrong.
There's a lot of cool stuff, but I wish like you could like momentarily turn it off. Like leaving your house without a phone was kind of sick. But that's also just kind of kid stuff.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean? What do you mean kid stuff? I'm old enough where phones didn't exist.
I'm saying, but like cell phones...
Like not in the way they do now.
No, they didn't. But so that's what I'm saying is cell phones were used less. So it was just kind of assumed that once you're off the clock or once you're outside, it's just you're unreachable for that amount of time.
Cell phones were for rich people for a really long time.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I see. The thing is, like, I don't know where you were at, like in your age.
There's enough of an age gap. Dude, there's enough of an age gap between us that it does actually make a difference
that conversation. That's why I'm asking, like, when did kids in your school start getting phones? Probably late high school.
Fuck, dude. No, come on. I'm not that old. Jesus Christ.
Probably early college, huh?
But, I mean, okay, to be fair, when did the iPhone come out? The iPhone was 07, right?
I'm going to take a quick drink break, so you got to cover the podcast.
Yeah, so in 2007, that would have made me a sophomore. So, I mean, I was literally basically sophomore or junior.
Oh, sorry, I just got done with my drink.
Before iPhones even existed. So I was like halfway through high school before an iPhone even literally could even be in someone's pocket. So, like, when you say phones, we're talking about razors.
Go ahead. I don't know. Go ahead. Keep going. It just clicked in my head that we were like, all right, Krillin's offensive. Keep going.
I know. It was like razors. It was like still a bunch of like basic ass just flip phones. The Nokia bricks were finally like gone for the most part.
I love those. The mini games on those things were crazy. Snake and Brick Break. Yeah. Well, that was more BlackBerry, but.
I never had a BlackBerry. I ended up getting a Samsung Blackjack 2.
The phone names were so hard back in the day.
Yeah, I do miss physical keyboards.
That was nice. Fave 5.
I would never actually use one now. I don't know if you saw that. There's a company that was at CES this year that had a physical. It was like a case, and it had like a tiny keyboard at the bottom. It's like a BlackBerry style keyboard for the bottom of your iPhone. And it's like it'd kind of be fun to like mess around with, but I wouldn't use that all the time. Like no. That would get your phone is now like 8 inches long instead of like six.
Yeah.
It's just getting too much.
Massive.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, 1990. That's how we got onto this. So what was it like for, I guess to truly answer your question, probably around the time I was 13 or 14. So like eighth grade, freshman year is about the time people started getting phones. I did personally not have my own phone until I was, well, when I started working, which I started working when I was 15. So like a sophomore.
Okay. I would say probably a little earlier for me, like seventh grade is where I started noticing that pretty much most people were getting phones. And then once you're in high school, it was guaranteed you have a phone.
Seventh grade for you, though, that would have been iPhones, right? iPhones exist at that point. iPhones and like Android devices.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seventh grade for me was still, I don't even know if a razor existed when I was in seventh grade.
That's crazy. I will say the first girl I ever saw in one of my class have a phone, she was pretty wise about it. It was like a Nokia. She said, yeah, cell phones are pretty cool when you don't have them. But once you do, like, I don't really use this for anything. Which, to be fair, probably wouldn't be true now. But back in the day, it really wasn't anything but a walkie-talkie.
04, by the way.
04 what? When iPhone came out?
Motorola Razr was created in 2004. So that would have been 7th or 8th grade for me.
Huge. The Motorola Razr, everybody remembers those as the greatest thing to ever exist.
Those were sick, though. Those were really cool.
You think anybody today is using a Motorola Razr?
Like, yeah, still? They're back.
They're back?
They were for a while, yeah, because they because of foldable technology. It was just a foldable phone with full screen on the inside.
It's pretty cool. I like that.
I have been low-key thinking. I just can't get rid of iMessage, man. iMessage is just too OP. I hate that I'm that ingrained into that particular ecosystem, and I still rock an Android phone, too. But for content creation, but I really want a foldable phone. Bad, actually.
Wow, you're craving it, man.
Well, also, I've been thinking about getting the Fold 6 that comes out this year because I think it'd be fun to read manga on that.
I do think it's cool that, because it's pretty seamless. I've seen them in real life, and it doesn't really look bad at all.
Six gens into the Fold, yeah, I'm sure it's going to be pretty awesome.
Like, damn. It is cool. It's basically just a tablet.
Almost as cool as episode 34 of Dragon Ball Z, which is what we're here to talk about today.
What's the title?
The title of this episode in particular is Krillin's Offensive. Great this is title. Pretty good. What was your rating?
No. Not yet. No thanks. Not yet. We got to wait for the end.
The end, Dotto. Did you not hear that?
No, bro. No, we haven't talked about it at all. Hell no. Because I want to talk about this, bro. Even if we were at a Dragon Ball podcast, this would be my topic for the deck. We did make it to almost 40
guys. We appreciate you so much for being here. We appreciate you supporting the podcast.
This one got away from us.
We will see you guys in
I love messing, man.
Dude, there was so much that I cannot believe we talked for 39 minutes. Not about,
we should have just not done this because this episode could have been 40 minutes of just gassing it up. First of all, this is better. I had this in the reaction. I didn't say it. This 10 times better than Goku versus Vegeta. And I don't even mean the episode. I mean both episodes combined, the entire fight. The beam clash, sure. That's iconic. That's going to stand out. But in terms of the art, the animation, even the choreography of Gohan versus Vegeta in this episode was leagues above.
Dude,
leagues. Except maybe the times 3 Kaioken beatdown. But that was like a brief moment in time. Went on for a good minute.
I don't know if you vibe with this as much as I did, but the moment where Vegeta is doing the scatter shot.
Vegeta technique.
Yeah. And it does this like clean ass, no one will probably do this in anime for like 25 more years type thing where it zooms into Vegeta's face.
I knew you were going to like this.
Damn clean.
You're a big man on camera zooms. I remember a few podcasts
that
ago.
Shit was ahead of itself. You can't tell. 1990 thought of.
Actually, this wasn't a podcast. I think we were literally just chilling watching an anime, and you literally said to me, you were like, this isn't anything bad about old anime, but the camera work in this show, I can't remember which show
it was. We were watching Attack on Titan.
Yes, it was the Levi scene in the forest.
Yeah, it was Levi versus female Titan from
the camera
one.
Work in this is just something that you only see in new anime. You don't see it in the old one. As we're watching this, it pans into Vegeta's face while he's doing that. And I was
there definitely is camera work that that they're able to, not saying they couldn't do it back then because they just proved me wrong, but like it's more common.
It's more
common.
I mean, it's dynamic. It's more dynamic now, yeah. And it's a lot more work. It's just like they could do it whenever, but they
just so hot.
And during the reaction, you were like, oh my gosh,
so hot, dude.
And then that was good. And then, let me dial it back first because just to show the effort that went into this, we talked in another podcast how when they do like footage at the beginning of the episode that sometimes covers stuff we saw at the end, it's not always new. This was Krillin receiving the spirit bomb,
and it was
totally new. Totally new. It looked way better. It was an amazing shot. We got the Krillin in front of like, I feel the weight of the world shot, and he had like the world. Damn. And it
that was
stop.
Crazy.
Now I'll jump back ahead to your Ki Blast attack on Gohan. Not only did he do the Vegeta, this was probably, and this is sad to say because it's so early, this might be the best Vegeta's technique ever because he's rapid firing the Ki Blast and they go forward, but then some spiral up and then like curve down and like explode Gohan away as he's like back dashing away. We didn't see shit like that in Goku versus Vegeta. This went crazy. We were like 7 minutes into the episode. I was like, dude, I was not familiar with your game, bro. I was not familiar with your game.
Yeah, the choreography was crazy. Like the choreography.
Where was this motherfucker versus Nappa, bro? Like he is clutching up.
That's what you were saying too. Dude.
Because the Masenko, I forgot he does that.
He does like 5 Masenkos.
17 Masenko. Do you remember when we were like, oh my God, a beam. Yeah. A beam. We are so meathead pilled already. Dragon Ball Z is already
so much, dude.
Now they did reuse the Vegeta teleport animation a little bit, but
who cares?
That's fine.
Who cares? Dude, one of the coolest things they did in this whole episode. So we gotta give flowers where flowers are due. The filler was actually sick.
That's when I knew it was over for me, Nana. That's when I knew the rating. That's when I knew it was gonna be
the filler.
That's when I knew.
Go back to Kami House. Filler was good.
That's when I knew it was gonna be pure glaze.
What?
Because they're like, oh my God.
Yeah, so the filler here, of course, was going back. And I would love to watch back the footage of the reactions. I think I sit up because when it looks into Baba's ball, and I was like, the fuck? I was like, did I just see Gohan go full speed towards Vegeta and then go flying up through Baba's ball? And I was like, no shot. No shot. And then it zooms us into the
actual... This motherfucker was not... Where was this guy versus that?
What?
Holy, even the Yajirobe scenes were good. Even the Yajirobe scenes were good in this one.
Yes.
This episode.
Bro's glazing Yajirobe. That's how you know.
It was because another part of the filler is when they cut back, it's like for like 10 seconds, it's the perfect amount of time. And it's like Gohan versus Vegeta and the ball cracks and breaks apart and it's broken. I was like, damn. Like it was so good that my brain was like, it was all worth it. Like the setup, the annoying part, because now it's like over and it's on site. And I was like, holy shit.
Can I go ahead and announce this early?
Go ahead.
We're doing a rewatch of the rewatch.
Yeah.
For this episode.
This one deserves it.
We're about to react to ourselves reacting to this episode, just to rewatch this episode.
It was so goddamn good. This was the best episode so far. And honestly, not even close. It makes the 10s look like 9s. Like this really, honestly, this has me looking back more negatively on Goku versus Vegeta because where was this, bro? Other than the x3 Kaioken choreography. But this was crazy.
I can't believe how much they packed into this one episode because everything we're talking about is the first like 5 to 7 minutes. This doesn't even include anything post the intersection.
And it's dramatic too.
Which had so much more than I thought it was going. I forgot all about the particular thing that happens towards the end of this episode.
It's so good. I think what I said at the beginning of this episode or this podcast was that it made me forget that I know the plot of Dragon Ball. I know it's going to be okay because Krillin, one, the drama, the tension is so good. Krillin's like King Kai. King Kai's woven back into this masterfully. He gives Krillin more instructions.
Yes.
Krillin's like,
Krillin's still standing there holding the spirit ball.
Yeah. And he's like, King Kai said, I'll know when to throw it. So he's watching Gohan get like chased down.
Yeah.
Brutally shot at. And then he's like, I got it. Vegeta's walking up for his final steps. He's like, it's now. He throws it.
Did I just say that or did we say that together?
What?
I screamed, it's now, whenever. I was so into this episode, it's not even funny.
Krillin said it and you said it too, I think.
I was so into this episode, Tato.
It was really good. And he throws it. Vegeta sees it at the last second, barely manages to dodge. I think this is where the ball breaks, actually, because it's zooming in on Gohan. It's going to hit Gohan. And then King Kai freaks. Oh, Nana, we almost forgot to talk about the coolest shot. That's good. But you know what shot I'm talking about? When they do like the manga Vegeta reaction, he turns around to the spear bomb and the two exclamation points pop up like, ah, that shit was out of character for the show. But that hit like crazy.
It hit.
Dude. That was crazy.
It hit.
It looked like Akira Toriyama came in and was like, yo, you mind if I do a little paneling on this shit? Look at that, bro. That should be my wallpaper.
It's
Krillin. That should just be a painting in my house. It's Krillin with the earth behind
him. It's Krillin with the earth behind him, man.
Oh my gosh, Donald, this episode was
I wish we could pull up the episode just to be clear, but I think it's because the spirit bomb's about to hit Gohan. I think that might be when the orb breaks. And then everybody's reacting. Goku's like, you got to bounce it back. It won't hurt you if you have no evil in your heart. Perfect. What the hell is that? He just showed me random pictures. Now he bounces it back. Beautiful. Vegeta gets minced, bro. Look at that, bro. Oh my god.
It's him bouncing back the spirit ball.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, and then Vegeta gets caught up in it and goes like flying in the sky. And dude, this episode had like comedy too, because they're, you know, they all think everything's fine and they're all huddled around Goku.
I thought it was fine. I've seen the show. I was like, woohoo.
And then all of a sudden here comes Vegeta falling down from the sky. And then
he's Krillin, knocked out cold.
So we think Krillin walks over and says, that ugly mug's not going to be doing anything else. And he's like, what ugly mug are you talking about?
Who you calling ugly?
Oh, dude.
Bro, were you pretending this whole time you fell 50 stories into the desert just to do that?
What desert?
Gazard?
Hell yeah, brother.
Hell yeah. Was that the first fist bump of key moments?
Wait.
Hell yeah, brother. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Dudes be like, hell yeah, and fist bump.
Yeah.
I was just checking the time. We've been glazing this one for not long enough. We need to go to the Iron Man.
No, not even at all, Dono. Why did we talk about the other stuff so long, man? We are podcasters.
So by the way, all of that was the first half of the episode.
Yeah, that was just the first half. And we still, by the way, we didn't talk about it enough.
No, it was all really good.
I will say, again, as I've said, when it's a super heavily based action section, which of course this one was, it is really hard to, like, I guess, dive deeper into it than what we already are. Is that fair?
I think we're doing a pretty good job. This one at least was layered action with some character. The Goku versus Vegeta stuff was way harder because it was just some punches.
Yeah,
which it was still good. It was still great.
See, and that's the thing. In this episode, you're saying they did Risa shot whenever we were getting the like volley of Masinkos. But when you think about some of the other episodes, like it's a lot of the same shots. Like think even like five episodes ago where we were staring at faces and we just like, it's a pan of a face. It's a pan of a face. It's a pan of a face.
I mean, it was
and in
cool.
This shit, the only reuse thing was like the one teleportation thing.
It was still cool though. I mean,
it was all cool.
When you reuse the shots, it still can be cool.
The Masenko I have nothing against reuse shots. I don't care at all.
The Masenko was so good.
But in this episode, it's like,
that was my pop-off moment.
God. Yeah, it was.
Where was this guy? Again, I keep bringing this up, but where was this motherfucker against Nappa, bro?
Yeah, dude, like, who knows, man.
He should have sauced his ass up.
Who knows? This ain't even the same person, man.
He really clutched up for his dad. Like, people make this Piccolo joke, but clearly, actually, I will say, I swear to God, you didn't hear it.
I didn't hear it.
I swear to God.
Piccolo and dad or something.
No, no.
Like that.
I think it was just like Goku was getting hurt. Maybe it was last time. But Piccolo was getting hurt. Or no, Goku was getting hurt. And he was like, Piccolo, dad. I was like, did he just mistakenly call his dad Piccolo? That's how it felt. But anyway, I was going to actually make a point against that joke because clearly, bro does not really care that much about Piccolo. If he wasn't putting up a fight like this, he changed on a dime for his father. He was swinging. Anyway, first half of the episode, Vegeta lands and he can actually still move. These Saiyans are built durable.
They're just completely built different.
Yeah, you can't beat a Saiyan to death.
I won't lie. I forgot about this entire section because in my mind, I pictured him falling back down from the spirit bomb, crawling over to
the pod,
and
then leaving
us the iconic shot. And then boop.
That's what I meant when I was like, I forgot what was gonna happen.
Yeah,
because I was like, it's over, he did it.
So in case you didn't rewatch with us, which you should, and you can rewatch with us by being a key member by clicking the join button down below
rewatch the episodes.
Yes, Or you can do that, but watching with us would be, it's just better that way.
Yeah, I mean, I want $8 too. So of course I wasn't saying that. I understand.
But in case you did not or have not, and you're only experiencing it through listening to us talk about it, it does not go that way at all.
But again, I understand that people, if you didn't watch, because there's definitely some people that don't watch the episodes, they just tune
in. Yeah, which is fine. And we appreciate you.
It is fine. But I'm saying, like, they'd be like, duh, you guys don't remember how it goes. It was so good. It was so in universe that you really do forget. Like, when the spirit bomb lands, you're like, let's go, GG's. And then he's like, who you calling ugly? And you're like, hey, this motherfucker, he can still move. And he can still fight, too, because Krillin gets bodied part two.
I just forgot, I'll just be honest. I was super into it, but also just kind of forgot.
I was locked in. And then once you see, like, Vegeta hits a crit. He loves just yelling and exploding. That is Saiyan Saga's Vegeta's favorite move.
Yes.
I never understood why in Fighters they made that his intro. And also, like, they gave him the level 3, like, Explodia.
I need to see this.
But clearly they knew Dragon Ball better than me, because that's all this motherfucker does in Saiyan Saga. He does one Gallic Gun and 16 yell explosions. great move. But after that, he just yell explodes all three away. And it's looking like GG's. But again, Vegeta's still, he's not healthy. He's like, all right, well, I was trying to kill him, but I just can't. I got to finish this off.
Now, after that, we do have a little bit more time at Kame House.
Yeah. This was the weakest part of the
episode. Yeah, this was definitely. And I look over at Dotto and I said, okay, after everything we just described happened, if the rest of the episode is just pure, raw Kame House filler, and my brain was like, what if somehow they managed to, like, make this last the next, like, 10 minutes and we just get back and, like, you know, Vegeta's heading towards his pod and then narrator comes in. And that's not the case at all. But Korin shows up at Kame House.
Somehow.
They leave in a, of course, Castle Court vehicle that can fly. And we don't know who all is in it yet, other than the fact that Roshi mentions, like, good thing King Ox decided to, like,
not come.
Know, yeah.
Which makes perfect sense. Because
he's, like, the size of the aircraft, basically. But anyways, it's then revealed inside the aircraft are... I was about to ask a really stupid question, but I'm not going to ask that because it would show my lack of knowledge from OG Dragon
Ball.
Okay,
You should be you.
Is it ever explained why he is, like, a metahuman?
Who?
Ox.
I don't know. I think he's just a big guy. I mean, the Dragon Ball world is weird. Ox King is, like, one of the least weird beings.
Bro's, like, 10 foot tall.
I think that's just human. I think he's just built weird. He's a little big.
He's Diddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the one that's going through all the stuff.
That's fair. If you don't know our full lore, we have a friend named Diddy.
Well, not the one going through all that stuff. And we are not being questioned by the police on where he is right now. We can't bring that up.
I'm talking about Sauce Man.
Yeah.
Is that somehow another like
No, I think that one's clear. I think cool. People got
Sauce
that
Man. Anyways, I was just curious. So it's Korin, Roshi, Bulma, and Chi-Chi, who I was, like, questioning if Chi-Chi was going to go or not. I could not remember for the life of me if she went or not. Because, like, she did. All I remember in my head is Bulma being there.
Bulma, and I just remember Korin.
Bulma.
Oh, you mean, like, in the show? Like, from your memories?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, whenever, yay, we won, kind of?
I don't remember any of them, Bulma, to be honest.
I just remember Bulma being there. But, anywho, we're not headed back. And I'm like, I'm genuinely, I don't know why. And even though I think at this point, right, we had the who you calling ugly, right? We had
Yeah.
I still forgot about one of the coolest parts of this episode was still going to happen. Like, I thought we were in full on chill down mode. 100%.
What are you talking about?
Huh?
What part are you talking about?
What do you mean, what part am I talking about?
What are you referring to?
When he gets back up.
Yeah.
And does.
And the explosion. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's, that part was crazy.
That's the part I didn't know was happening. Yeah,
that's when I was like, whoa, this is nuts.
Yeah. So Vegeta does his AOE essential attack. Yeah.
His yell scream.
Wait, is that what you were talking about that whole time?
Yeah, that part when because he does it so many times. But yes, I was referring to.
So you're skipping ahead.
Yeah. Well, I skipped the people on the island. I mean, I barely count them. They had one great moment.
Those are pretty good. That's like in the last like 5 or 6 minutes of the episode, though.
I mean, we did our job. We did our job. What are you gonna? Oh, I'm trying to clock out. Okay, you caught me. All right, we've been here, you know, we put in a couple hours of work. I try to sneak out of the podcast room every now and then. I don't think that's crime.
Oh, shit. Anyways, and then he walks over, and that's when he discovers Gohan. Because, he doesn't have enough key left.
The reveal was sick.
To finish everyone off. So it ends up just being him walking over and seeing, oh, my God. They're still telling this kid.
Gohan's tail has grown back, and his reaction to the moon was like, the blood waves.
He did say that.
Blood waves.
He brought it back. Shit. Let's go, dude. And then that's boom. We get the cool 4. Boom, boom.
That was sick. Every decision they made, I was like, damn.
Masterclass.
This was a Dragon Ball Z
episode. Every episode should be just like this one.
Yes, I agree. I actually agree. This was a perfect episode.
Everyone's like, just watch Kai.
Yeah, probably. But.
Shut up.
Oh, so you like the better show. Wow. Unique.
Dotto.
Yeah.
Would you like me to tell you?
Some trivia and fun facts?
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead. You've got the laptop.
There's none. No differences.
Not even one?
No trivia.
No differences. Well, it definitely felt like that. So that's good.
I'm kidding.
Ah,
fortune teller Baba's crystal ball shattering, leaving the others unable to view the battle, is exclusive to the anime.
I feel like that also sets up like the ball was in the. But yeah, that was sick though. That one was cool.
Bulma and the others in the airplane, where she gets on Korin's bad side, is exclusive to the anime.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, you ready for the trivia? There's only 3.
Good. I like a nice brief trivia.
When Krillin holds the spirit bomb in his hand and a number of people appear behind him, one of the people in the crowd of otherwise generic people looks like the World Tournament announcer.
I wasn't paying attention to those guys. I was losing my mind at that point. Yes?
Dotto.
Interesting. Big reaction here.
Dotto.
What do we have?
Dub enjoyers, rise the fuck up, Dotto.
What happens?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go ahead.
This is crazy. In the original Japanese version, when Gohan blasts Masenko at Vegeta, he says Kamehameha. The error does not exist in the Funimation dub, where Gohan says Masenko.
Let's go. Rare W.
Maybe the only ever accuracy W for the dub.
2005, they had a lot of time to correct.
They did.
They had a lot of time.
We should watch the Ocean dub, where they probably say Kamehameha.
No shot. If he didn't say Masenko, I'd be pissed, actually. That would bother the hell out of me.
Would that probably kill this episode for you?
It wouldn't have killed it, but I definitely would have been like, bro has no idea what a Kamehameha is.
Kamehameha!
Bro's making up his own shit.
after the second when he comes back, and Kamehameha!
Masenko is just like, a cooler name.
What?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say cooler.
But
for Gohan, Masenko is cool.
All right, here we go. This is the biggest one. You ready?
Yeah.
When Vegeta is hit by the spirit bomb and lays on the ground unconscious, only to awaken and startle the Z fighters, his dialogue differs depending upon the version of the show in question. In the English dub, Krillin makes a remark as to the world no longer having to see Vegeta's ugly face, only to have Vegeta wake up saying something like, whose face is ugly? In the original Japanese version, in the English dub of Dragon Ball Z Kai, Krillin discusses digging a grave for Vegeta, thinking he's dead, and Vegeta's abrupt awakening comment is something along the lines of, you mean a grave for you guys?
Oh, that one goes pretty hard. I like that one better, probably.
I don't know, man. I kind of like whose face is ugly. Something about that, I like that characterization of Vegeta more in my head.
I mean, it is more English dub funny. Like, it's like,
yeah,
who you calling ugly?
Don't get me wrong. You mean a grave for you guys? Like, that does go hard, but like, I kind of... This is one of those where does it really change that much?
No, it doesn't change much.
And I kind of like the whose face is ugly. I've mentioned that I think twice before this trivia even popped up. So
yeah.
Anyways, that does bring us to the end, Master. As always, to the Dragon Ball Wiki for providing us with accurate trivia and manga differences. We appreciate that tremendously. Now, Dotto, it is time because we give ratings to every episode.
Got to be the most pointless rating section of all time.
Yeah, I think everyone knows.
Key members have known exactly what we're rating this since 7 minutes into the episode.
Yes. 1 minute. 10 seconds.
I finished 17 minutes ago. But do we want to go on go?
Sure.
1, 2, 3, go. 10.
5.
Yeah, that sounds about right. No.
I already did this bit.
You already did this bit. What is it actually?
It's a Kaio 10, Dotto.
Wow. You actually went through with it. You're making a Kaio 10 real.
I think so. This feels a level above my previous 10.
It is unfortunate that 10 is just too good. I like the idea that, I refuse to acknowledge a Kaio 10 and just the guy that writes our reviews. I really want you to only ever say Kaio 10 for this one. So the guy that has all the tweets, he has one Nanogenix Kaio 10. And people are just, what the fuck is a Kaio 10? But this episode, I agree. Completely different level. It makes the other 10s feel like 9s. This is locked in all the time, barely any misses. What little coming in, like, honestly, some much needed slowdown. This was perfect. If every episode was like this, damn.
Yeah. This I think.
This I know.
Man, I would presume I'm not going to have an episode I enjoyed this much on, like, this level. Like, this shit was euphoric.
It's all down from here.
Like, I think I'm maybe I'm underestimating the Vegeta Namek stuff, but I think I'm waiting until sometime when Goku is back against the Guinea Force for something like at this level. And even then, like, my memory of Guinea Force is pretty drawn out.
Okay.
Like, I remember a lot of the Guinea Force stuff being drawn out, but maybe I'm, like, remembering that very inaccurately. This just was, I think also too, I just didn't expect this gas from this episode.
I didn't expect this
in no way.
No.
I thought I knew the script.
I'm going to be honest.
I didn't know shit about
this. I'm going to be honest. I didn't even know the title before for some reason, I wasn't even thinking about the next episode. I don't know why, but caught me completely off guard.
Yeah.
Great one.
That episode was incredible. And I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast.
I can hear the music. I'm going to take another drink break. So
I can hear the music and I can see that on Dotto's face. If you're on YouTube, you can click on that right over there. And you can watch more of the podcast, listen more of the podcast. If you're on audio services, appreciate you guys leaving us a rating. Thank you so much. We absolutely appreciate that. And for our key members, shout out to you guys for supporting, keeping the lights on, letting us pay our editor and all that fun stuff. And we'll see you guys in the next one.